Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
You're listening to right now. I'm just dropping in early. This week's episode was a live one from Brisbane. It was the Christmas episode. I should also give you a quick warning. This episode does tackle some darker things like suicide and murder. And if you're not feeling in the mood for that, to hear three idiots talk about that, maybe skip this one for now. But I mean, it's not really all that different to a lot of the other fucked up things we've talked about in the past. But it's just a bit of a roller coaster, I guess. Also, we love doing these live episodes, and Dave has posted a poll just to see if anyone in other towns or cities around Australia and overseas would be keen for us to come. So if you're interested in that, get on there and tick your hometown or a place that you could get to if you would come and see a show there, and it'll help us figure out where we go next, because we really do love traveling around and doing these shows. So if you're keen, get on to our Twitter at Do Go On Pod, Facebook/Do Go On Pod, or Instagram at Do Go On Pod, and check out that poll. Anyway, on with the show. I'll talk to you at the end a bit about some Patreon love. See you soon.
Thank you very much. Hello, Brisbane. Welcome down to the annual Do Go On Christmas special. How you doing? Thank you so much for coming out. My name is Dave Warnicky. It's not just me here tonight. Could you please give a big welcome to the red bearded Santa himself? It's Matt Stewart! This is going to sound weird, but he's joined on stage by Mrs. Claus, Jess Perkins. It is only the second day of December. We may have gone a bit early with the Christmas, but are we all feeling the Christmassy vibe in here?
Does anybody else hate it every time Dave says Christmish?
Well, get used to it, because this is the Christmish special. This is...
I should have brought a little bell that I could ring every time you said it.
Christmish, ding!
Dave does this thing on the line. Oh, okay, great. He doesn't sit down until he really trusts the audience, so...
You guys got him quick.
I really trust some of you.
Point out the ones you don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Mainly because you got a red light on your face, you look a bit like the devil.
And you're going to have to work real hard to prove it otherwise. Or not. Okay, yeah, all right. Well played.
The other thing we should mention is this episode's actually brought to you by the web series Gamey Gamey Game. That's a true, yeah. That's a true fact.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Well, I'm not a fan.
Well, it...
I know of it.
If, haven't
if
watched
you like
it.
Things you've heard of, then you're in for a real treat today. Okay, say something that he might have heard of, Jess.
Vegemite. Sorry, Tim.
Not heard of Vegemite. Have.
Yeah, you bloody
wasn't
trickster.
As excited about that.
He fucking got us. Ah, this is going to be fun.
Hey, just by a round of applause, who do you guys like the most doing the report? Is it me? Okay.
No, the hesitation was what we needed.
Yeah, they were like...
Is it okay.
Is it Jess? Some or of you... is it Dave?
I've heard of him.
Because I got up...
You are him. I get it.
A little twist which made
comedy's
it funny.
Comedy's fun.
So I'm staying with my sister who lives in Brisbane, right? Obviously, that would be weird otherwise, but...
Yeah, it's a long commute from Melbourne.
She's very supportive.
So the first... I checked in or whatever you do when you stay at a friend's house.
I don't think you check in at a family's house. I think you just arrive.
It's a weird system now that you mention it. It was weird. She made
goes,
me...
surname? Same as yours?
Same as yours, mate.
It's a coincidence.
But the first thing she asked me after I checked in was... that's her laughing. Yeah. First thing she asked me, she goes, oh, who's doing the report on this episode? And I said, oh, it's me, actually. And she says, oh, I really like Dave's reports.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We all like Dave's reports, but we have to suffer through Matt's.
Sorry about that. It's my report this week. Should we get cracking on the show?
Okay, so we always do this at a live show. Can we have a big round of applause if you have ever heard the Do Go On podcast before? Or if you've heard of it.
Yeah, great.
I've had a round of applause. We met a father out there. It was great to meet a dad.
It's always good to meet a dad.
It's always good to meet a dad.
It's a real pleasure. A real pleasure.
Love him.
Give me a round of applause if you are a dad.
Yeah. Oh, what? Why'd dads. You say that like, yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
But give me a round of applause if you've never heard the show before.
No shame.
Right up front.
Awesome. I interrupted you there. Are you trying to segue into explaining
like
the show for the people who haven't heard it before?
Explain to you and to the people that haven't heard the show before what it is.
It.
And it is very hard to explain, as we've found over the last 110 weeks. So, what happens is one of us, I've already fucked it, is given a topic to report on, usually nominated by a listener of the show, and this week it is Matt's turn to report on a Krishmish-y topic that Jess and I don't know what it's going to be, despite the fact that I'm staying with Matt's sister as well, thank you very much, and he's been giving me little clues over the last sort of 24 hours of what the episode is, and I still have no idea, so I'm excited, I must say.
I'm not excited. Nah, I got him again! Woo! I'm sorry, I've had half a cider. And they gave me another one. We're in a lot of trouble today, guys.
So the question is...
Oh, he's standing.
Yeah, I was feeling uncomfortable.
All right, teach. Why don't you blow our minds? Are you going to rap some Shakespeare at us?
Let me turn backwards. This chair backwards.
Matt, you're so cool.
He's so cool.
I'm starting to believe it myself. Took a while, but yeah, I do believe. All right, here's the question.
Okay.
I've just come up with it. And because the topic is weird, all right? So here's the question. This week's subject was put up to the vote by Patreon listeners. What one do you think they chose? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So there are three options.
Oh, okay.
Option number one, Silent Night, the World War I Christmas Truce of 1914.
Oh, that's very cool.
Is it Iceland?
No, you shook your head. You don't want that one.
You don't want that one.
Did anyone in here vote on this?
Yeah. Yep, a few people. Okay, all right. Tim?
Well, seeing as it was nearly everyone voted for one topic, I reckon you'd probably be happy with this, hopefully. Or was it number two, Iceland's Yule lads, who were like cool Icelandic Santas?
Yeah, I got that from Yule lads.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I like that so far.
Or is it C, or three, depending on the system I've been using?
Edit as appropriate.
Is it Unsolved Christmas Mysteries?
Oh, okay. All right.
Let me think.
Dave? I think we're going to need a moment to try and figure this one out.
Anyone in the crowd? What did you vote for, sir?
See.
Oh, you went for Yule lads. But we also...
Okay.
You may be disappointed. You can stay, but just don't laugh the rest of the show. You don't get to do that.
I'm so naive. I really thought it was going to be Silent Night, but Silent Night didn't get a vote, or maybe it got one vote.
Maybe they knew I'd
Guys.
Sing.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
Anyway.
No one voted for that. Well, a big fuck you to the Anzacs, isn't it? All right. Shame. Shame. Yule lads.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough. It's very
it's
cool.
It's his only argument, and it's a good argument.
Yule lads. That was great.
Okay, I think it's Unsolved Mysteries.
It is Unsolved Christmas Mysteries.
Yeah. Cool.
So I've gone through, they gave me an article, I call it an article, others would call it a listicle. And I've selected some of those, and I found some of my own, and I've come up with five unsolved Christmas mysteries to take you guys through.
I need to stop you there. It's actually Unsolved Krishmish Mish.
Sorry.
Which is very fun to say.
I've actually got a little speech impediment where I say Christmas. It's embarrassing, and it has caused me a lot of bullying over the years.
But how do you say mystery?
Oh, I say mystery.
Okay, great.
This was
suggested. You can't do it.
I can't do it. I have to go 100 or not at all.
This topic was suggested by Jackie Bonifan.
Oh, yep.
Jackie, are you here tonight?
No, Jackie's from Melbourne, I'm pretty sure.
Jackie, have you driven here tonight?
It's 3:50 in the afternoon. Everything you've said is fucking dumb.
Well, maybe Jackie is on her way and she's going to be very disappointed.
You're just such a showman, you know?
And tonight we're playing for...
How do you want me to do this? So they've all kind of got a heading. Do you want me to get into it? Because the headings always give away what it is.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I just won't read out
the
headings.
Okay, maybe just redact any words that will give it away. Wanted to drop in the word redact.
All right, this first one's called the Pleasant Valley Memorial something, something, something.
Okay, so far, I don't have any ideas.
One of those words I redacted was mystery.
Okay.
Probably could have left that in.
Yep.
Let me take you back to December the 16th, 1996. So they're all Christmas time mysteries.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Thought that was going to need an extra explanation. Now.
What time of year is this?
Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Christmas. I had a T to the end. We're at the Pleasant Valley Memorial Park from the title of this story. A cemetery in Annandale, Virginia. In the darkness of the early morning, a red-headed woman around 60 years of age sets up a miniature Christmas tree decorated with gold balls.
Does she dye her hair?
Yes.
Good, good.
That's the mystery solved. All right.
Okay. Next. Topic number two.
Next to the tree, she laid down a plastic sheet on the ground. She was wearing a blood-hooded jacket. That is probably a weird autocorrect. Blood hooded jacket. I think I was going to say blue hooded jacket.
That's really different.
Yeah, that is very different. She was wearing a blue hooded jacket over a blue jumper and blue trousers.
Okay.
So was she wearing a blue jacket over some blood trousers?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a confusing system. She also wore a gold watch and a 14-carat gold ring and had a small backpack or satchel.
But which one?
Or knapsack.
Oh.
Well, the article said knapsack, but I really wanted to make sure I was changing some words.
Yeah, you might think we copy and paste this shit. We do not.
I really should shout out to the Washington Post on this one.
Oh,
I've changed most of the words slightly. She sat down. I mean, I changed blue to bloody.
She's wearing a bloody hooded jacket.
Yeah. Hey, what have we got here? A bloody hooded jacket. All right, mate. All right, settle down. She sat down on the plastic sheet and drank a flask of brandy. She had a cassette player with her, with the headphones over her ears. She listened to her tape of Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner's classic 2,000-year-old man comedy routine.
Okay.
Which I watched today.
Yep.
And is it a classic?
I mean, it's definitely a classic. I don't think comedy travels that well.
Oh, right. Over 2,000 years.
Mel Brooks is very funny. He's a very funny man. A couple of legends of comedy. Mean no disrespect. All right. So she's listening to this comedy routine, right?
Then on cassette.
On cassette. This is 1996.
So 90s.
A good year.
Some of you have not been listening at any of the story, just waiting for a year. A good year. What are we talking about?
It makes me so happy. Like, oh.
Yes, she is very sad.
Yeah. It's so nice to see her feel happiness every now and then. Because, God, she's a sad woman. Do you want?
So she's listening to this comedy routine, right?
Right.
What a weird setup. Does anyone... Anyway, in a cemetery. So it almost immediately gets sadder. Then she pulled out...
A gun.
A plastic bag and a roll of masking tape.
Uh-oh.
She put the bag over her head and taped it down around her neck.
Alrighty. Keeping it light.
I just don't think this routine's very funny. Listen to that.
Sorry, I'm doing Mel Brooks word for word. This is... She then put the tape back in her backpack, or satchel, or knapsack, if you're going to be accurate to the story.
And we do.
Lay down and suffocated to death with Brooks and Reiner's comedy playing in her ears.
Do these topics go from light number one and the fifth one to the darkest? Because if so...
Yeah, they do. They get increasingly darker.
It's going to be horrific.
I switched the order around before. The one that I had started off before, I'm like, too fucked. I'll leave that for later.
It's nice that we have some very young gentlemen here in the audience, in the front row. Perfect.
I mean, young gentlemen need to hear the truth. Fuck.
Regret face!
Hey guys, this is the truth. Go home and spread these words.
This is life. We're all just heading towards death. And it will come eventually.
You'll realise that when you're older. Mm. But one day we all die.
It's true.
To be honest, this is probably not the standard way to go out. But
Do you think Mel Brooks knows this?
I reckon he...
I'd be fucked. Imagine finding out that somebody had been listening to us.
Oh, boy.
You did this to us. you did this.
Obviously, trigger warning. fuck. This is not the worst one.
Oh. Great. All right. Well, everyone get in the right headspace for it because it's going to get dark.
So that all happened early in the darkness of the morning, right? She was found by cemetery workers around 9 a.m. and they called police and they nearly immediately came. Richard Perez and Mike Headley arrived within an hour and her body was still warm. There was nothing...
Yeah, no, that was right.
Would you have preferred a cold body?
I just prefer not to know that note. I don't want to know the temperature of the body.
There was nothing in her pockets to identify her. All they found was a note with two crisp $50 bills. The note said, "Deceased by own hand. Prefer no autopsy. Please order cremation with funds provided. Thank you, Jane Doe."
Well, I think we know her name now.
Why is this a mystery? Solved. Done.
The case has frustrated Perez ever since. This is a quote from him. He said, "If she's a drifter, she's the best kept drifter I've ever seen." People were saying she's probably a drifter.
Right.
He's like, with the gold watch and the ring.
Yep.
With the diamantes and the carotties or whatever. Whatever they do in those things.
Continue.
So anyway, Perez said, am I saying that name right? Perez? That can't be right.
Probably Perez.
Perez.
I prefer Perez.
Syllables are very confusing. Anyway,
let's just have a quick poll. yesterday.
Oh, he's up.
We were.
Welcome to the Late Show with Dave Warnke.
We were just sitting around the, talking around the fireplace.
Oh, fuck off.
The topic of sharks came up. I gave out one of my classic trademark facts about sharks. They have no bones. But instead, they have something else. Does anyone have a guess what they have instead?
I heard a resounding cartilage.
Cartilage, right?
Who says cartilage? No, I believe it is pronounced cartilage.
Cartilage. And we laughed and we laughed.
Who's with me on anyone with cartilage? Anyone, please. I need this. Cartilage or cartilage?
Fuck off, Dave.
The best thing about that is he really believed he was about to get 120 people.
Mainly because when we Googled it, it said that I was right.
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point?
Look, you're not wrong.
Look, if you take this away from me, you take away everything I have.
But to be fair...
Which is not a
no,
lot.
No, don't pity him. He doesn't deserve it. To be fair, any conversation that occurs between the three of us could be argued with what's the point. So it's about standard, yeah. We fought over cartilage for a bit and then...
Cartilage. It's adorable.
Nailed it with that pronunciation.
It's so cute. How wrong you are.
Anyway, Perez. That's not right, is it?
What Perez.
Was it? Perez. Yeah, great.
What do you feel? What's comfortable?
Perez.
Okay. Perez it is.
Perez said, if she's a drifter, she's the best kept drifter I've ever seen.
Yeah, we had that one, mate.
I'm recapping. Anyone just walk in? All right. and the site of her suicide, Pleasant Valley, was unlikely to be known by a drifter.
Pleasant Valley, too. It doesn't seem very pleasant. Does it at this stage? What,
no.
With the suicide?
And what do you mean she doesn't know? Drifters just physically can't.
They can't know of it. It's got a little, like, an invisibility cloak over it.
Yeah.
Right. You put on your rich man glasses and then you can see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Dave.
Cartilage.
She had a scar on her stomach, which may have been from a C-section, and she died in the section of the cemetery where infants are buried. So there were some theories.
Matt,
that...
for fuck's sake.
Is this the Christmas episode?
I mean, to be fair, the people who voted for mysteries kind of did this to us, but...
Yule boys!
I agree. The Yule boys.
All right.
I mean, that's not what it's even called. Yule lads, mate. Disappointing.
Right.
Yeah, no, I didn't like reading that. I didn't even realize, but yeah, that is fucked. But anyway, so there are theories that she was potentially mourning a loss.
No, everyone picked up on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why every person went oh, and you did that to us.
But discounting that was that the section she was in were all very new infant graves, and her scar dated back a lot further.
Still getting groans. Still not helpful.
Oh, fuck. How's everyone feeling out there? Just checking in.
I don't know if I'm helping or making it worse. I don't know.
Well, I'd say you're definitely making it worse.
For you or for them?
For me.
No, I don't care.
So she had no receipts in her pockets, which made it even harder for police to retrace her steps. Most people don't think about that when they commit suicide, Perez said.
I don't think about that ever. I'm never like, well, better put this receipt in my pocket.
But apparently in a similar situation, normally there'd be receipts and they'd be able to trace some stuff back and figure out who it is.
Everyone, check your pockets right now. How many receipts do you have that would trace your Anybody last have a, week?
I have, in my pocket, I have lip balm. So they could trace... They're like, why are her lips so soft?
Ah, Jess Perkins.
Softest lips in showbiz.
I'll go round.
Time out.
Oh, you're a cool teacher. We're this is the first of five, all right? We've got to push
Don't
on.
Don't look at me with those lips. Her lips are looking at me. It's very disturbing.
Noting the money left for cremation, the lack of receipts, and the typed-out suicide note,
Perez said, "This lady appears to have taken a thoughtful effort to leave us no clue as to who she is, and she's got it all plotted out." There's only two L's in that all, but that was a bit of editorial work. I don't think I've had another case that's beaten me up like this one. I'll go back here now.
No, give us the final sentence of this.
Her identity remains a mystery. All right, I'm coming back.
This next one made me feel really sad.
Oh, why?
This is why I pushed it back to number two. Number three, I made a lighter one for number three. All right, so hang in for number three. Someone in here.
I just spoke into my drink.
That happens at least once every podcast.
It's not the first time I've done that. All right, now bring it down. We all had fun. Was that fun? Remember that. When you leave, remember that bit. And when somebody says, "How was it?" you go, "Parts of it were fun." Yeah, parts were fun.
Yeah.
We've been having so much fun in Brisbane, right? Last night we gate crashed a 40th birthday.
Yeah, we did.
And that guy, we told that guy to come. Are you here, most beautiful Tom?
He's not, is
he? Oh, what a dog. What a dog.
It is the
I
day
take
after
back
his
everything
40th.
I said last night.
That was his present. We said, "Oh, you can come for free to our podcast tomorrow." And of course he politely said, "Yeah, I'll be there." As if he was ever going to come.
I really thought he would.
Stop pitying him. None of us deserve your pity. We've got your money. You own us.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to read out the full name of this one, and you guys will see that it is, you know, quite a Christmassy topic. Topic number two, the murder of Erica Richardson. Huh? You feeling festive? In 1997, Erica Richardson was a 33-year-old living in Valrico, Florida.
Great, so that means now she'll be 53 years old, right?
Yep.
Good, end of story.
So the first section is going to talk about how good her life was.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why did you make this an option? Like, you had the choice of the
really
three topics you'd put up for vote, and you put up a fucked one, and of course they chose that. And now we've got 120 people sitting here going, "I got to call my mum."
But these are the people, like, these are the people who like this stuff.
Do you like this stuff? Yule boys. Okay.
Oh, we are losing them. Brisbane is a sunny place, I forget. In dreary Melbourne, people love sadness. Anyway, so she's 33. She's living in Florida. She had a degree in microbiology from the University of Florida and was running a pharmacy, having recently completed her postgraduate work in pharmaceuticals from Howard University, graduating magna cum laude.
No, I know, Matthew, I know.
Please tell us more about this cum lord.
The next sentence, because I didn't take the time to check it, but the next sentence I've written is, "I assume that's meant to be pronounced differently."
Yeah, it goes, Doctor, Professor, back to Mr., then Cum Lord, right?
Magna Cum Lord. She'd bought a house in Valrico, and things were going very well. She started dating a man named John Milton Fager. And you know when they've got three names that they're good people.
I was literally going to make a joke about three names. Get out of my head!
Sorry, everybody. But I think that they do that in America so that when someone has done something bad, other John Fagers don't get sort of cast with the same brush.
Sure.
That's not the saying, is it? Cast with the same brush? Painted tarred. We've had a few good options there. They're all better than mine.
That's all matters.
Casted with the same brush.
Yeah, you don't want to be tarred with the same cum lord, right? No one wants that. No one wants that.
I certainly don't. Not again, anyway.
Oh,
We've had an, oh my God, we've had an, oh no, please. What a fun time.
Like they're begging for their lives. Love Brisbane, love you guys.
They started dating, they were getting on great, and soon he moved into her house. Before too long, though, this relationship started to fall apart. Fager proved to be a jealous and violent man, and she kicked him out of the house. But this didn't stop Fager. He started stalking Erica and harassing her at work. And turning, yeah, I hate this one so much. This one's...
I mean, you wrote it.
It was the first one I put in, and I regretted it later. I'm like, I spent hours on this one. It's not going to be good.
Look, all we can hope for is that we won't get through all five. That's no, all we can hope
for. I've saved some gold for later. Great. So we should, let's push through this one.
Awesome.
This led to her taking out a restraining order against him, but some reports state that when the restraining order expired, they started dating again. Around Christmas time, 1997, Erica was out shopping for Christmas with her mother, Imogen, at a local mall. When they were heading back to their car, Fager appeared and he wanted to talk to Erica. And they went off together and her mum headed home. The next day, Erica didn't show up to work. Her mum, Imogen, called the pharmacy at 9:30 and her co-workers hadn't seen her. This worried her mother greatly, so she drove around to Erica's house to find out what was going on. She looked through the window to see blood on the white carpet, so she called the cops immediately.
That's why you don't get white carpet.
Was that blue on the white carpet? Or what's going on?
They blew on the white carpet. No, that's not... That's not quite right.
Make become Lord Blue on the carpet.
I felt too respectful to go there, Dave.
Look, I don't know how this ends, so I could still be a good person. Probably not.
When they arrive, they find Erica dead. She's been brutally murdered, stabbed 67 times. Fager's truck is parked outside, but Erica's Honda is missing. The prime suspect is Fager. A search leads to the Honda being found in Louisiana, where Fager has family. There is no sign of Fager. It's as if he's vanished. The crime scene showed that there had been a struggle and someone else's blood had been mixed in with Erica's. It was thought that the blood was Fager's, but without a DNA sample from him, it couldn't be proven. Years go by and there is still no sign of Fager. This was until 2008, over 10 years after the murder, when his whereabouts were finally known. For nearly 11 years, Fager was a John Doe body at the St. Mary's Parish Coroner's Office. In June 2008, Fager's DNA was searched in an FBI computer software system, and dental records from the US Army confirmed that it was Fager. His body was found in a St. Mary Parish river by a tugboat in 1998. Soon after the murder, only a few months later. Not only was it confirmed that the body was his, blood samples from Erica Richardson's apartment were resubmitted for testing, and DNA from the crime scene and the unidentified remains were a match. So it was confirmed that Fager was the murderer, so that obviously it wasn't the mystery part. The mystery, though...
Oh, okay. Oh twist!
What?
The mystery is what happened to him.
He died.
He was murdered... He was murdered and before he was dumped into the river. But no one knew who killed him and why. And the case remains unsolved. That is the mystery.
Oh.
I liked it. So the family, like Imogen, has been very public. Apparently she went through a very tough time early, obviously, where she just shut herself in her room. But eventually she started going out and doing a lot of TV spots and talking about it, trying to find out who it was. And she's happy now that it's sort of been solved, but she really wishes that she could have seen him face to face and gone, what the fuck did you do this for, sort of thing. She's still, like, missing that little piece of her, but she's happy that he's dead. So it all ended happy there.
All right, guys. When I say Mary, you say Krishna.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
So there's only one more murder to come.
Just
This next topic is called fruitcake. And it was suggested by a listener called Eric from Edmonton. He thought this would be a good Christmas topic. And this is what he wrote. Fruitcakes. Despite all logic, people buy these bloody disgusting things with little or no intention of actually eating them. No one really wants them. That's why calling someone a fruitcake is derogatory. Why are they still a thing? It's a mystery.
And we get hundreds of emails like that every week.
And I thank Eric for the suggestion.
That was great.
It's a tricky one to answer. Why are they still a thing? I have no idea. But I have looked into their origin. According to the Smithsonian Magazine's website, the ancient Romans made something reminiscent of a fruitcake as a sort of energy bar, but the modern fruitcake can be traced back to the Middle Ages as dried fruits became more widely available and fruited breads entered Western European cuisine.
Fruited breads!
Fruited breads. Since then, regional variations have popped up around the world.
You're actually talking about fruitcake.
Including
Italy's. You're talking about the history of fruitcake. I'm just clarifying.
This is a little
better than baby death. Well played. Please go on with fruitcake.
It's just a little palate cleanser.
Before more baby death.
Have you heard, you guys familiar with Italy's panforte, or however you pronounce that?
Close.
Apparently, it literally means strong bread.
Yeah.
And that is a fruitcake. All right, great. Germany's Stollen. Dave, you might be familiar with.
I have a German name. That's the only connection.
It's got German heritage. It's the only thing I'm allowed to say.
I think someone just whispered, he's a Nazi. I am not a Nazi. That is not a joke there. I'm not.
Guys, he's not. He was.
Never was, never will be.
Oh, don't say never.
I reckon I might say never on this one.
And also,
anyway, I love a love of forte. That was kind of Scottish. Grandpa was born in Scotland, so there you go.
I love a forte.
Get it in my taget.
In my taget. Get it in my taget. That's something that Dave Warnicky just said. That was dumb.
does happen. It does happen. It will make me edit it out, but you guys all heard that live. Every episode. I think the hardest part of this podcast is editing all the dumb things Dave says.
We record for about 4 hours a week. But I will ask you to believe in the true pronunciation of cartilage. So,
cartilage.
Cartilage.
I don't think so.
Nah.
Were 120 Brisbane people ever been wrong before?
Oh, yes. Queenslander! You guys love that, right? Yeah. What? I get you. God, how good is Jonathan Thurston?
You guys love being yelled at, yeah? Like, you love the state you live in being yelled at, yeah?
Thurso's actually from FNQ, so they don't like him down here. What you don't understand is...
Oh, no.
North Queensland want to split off from South Queensland. He doesn't understand you guys like I do.
So sorry.
Cartilage. What was that one you were saying the other week?
Cadaver.
Cadaver.
That
was wrong
cadaver.
As well, right? Yeah. So...
Queenslander!
Yeah, you fucking Queenslanders.
Anyway, the mystery here is no one knows why fruitcake has become a Christmas tradition. That's a mystery. According to the Smithsonian website, which
very
is
very kind, but don't clap him.
But I hopefully to save this section, there is a little fun fact here.
Okay.
I love this, and I really want to go to this thing in Manitou Springs, Colorado. There's an annual fruitcake toss event.
Is it launched by the Magna Cum? Lord?
You just want to say "Cum Lord" again.
Did you hear what someone said in the front row? No, she died.
Gloss over that one little detail. If you get a cheap cum gag away, we'll all be happy.
A cheap cum, the Dave Warnocky story.
I regret absolutely nothing.
Guys, can you believe we've lowered the tone of Queensland? They were classier before we arrived. Cop that, everybody involved. That really didn't leave anyone out, did it?
Don't hide the regret face. Show it loud and proud, baby.
So, the fruitcake toss.
So, according to their website, the fruitcakes will fly once again. Join in for some old-fashioned tossing of those maybe not so beloved holiday desserts. There will also be a fruitcake costume competition, libations, and a fruitcake bake-off.
No, but...
They're throwing them and they're baking them.
People spend hours baking them and someone just grabs them and goes, yeah!
So wait, they're even acknowledging that nobody likes fruitcake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's just stop making it.
Well, what? All right, now this next sentence is the most confusing one I've ever read. See what you can make of this. A limited quality... All right.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Isn't that confusing? A limited... What do they mean? A limited quantity of fruitcakes are available to rent. Very strange. Anyway,
I feel like a fruitcake, but just for like an hour. Just a bit. What's that face?
Before you rent it, you gotta like examine it and take photos of it just in case they accuse you of damaging it.
Yeah. You gotta leave a bond.
Competitions have included the hand toss, kids toss, launch, pneumatic gun or cannon.
Sorry, just stop me right there. The kids toss. I mean, can you rent a kid for that?
Yeah, of course. They got it all. There's also the team catch and the accuracy division.
What fucking nerds are going to this?
I will be there next year. Once the fruitcakes are launched, they are collected and given to a food bank. What a generous donation. Here you go, the poor. Have these things that we thought were such funny food that we threw them into the air. Eat and be merry. Colorado, you disgust me. Nah, good on ya.
Why are you looking at us? You're doing the report.
Yay! What? Any theories? Any theories? What do you think happens to fruitcake? And why is fruitcake associated to Christmas? Mystery number four. This one.
Oh no.
So now we've had that palate cleanser. You guys all ready for the murder of Latricia White?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Texan Latricia.
Commit to that, please.
Texan Latricia White spent Christmas Day in 1993. A lot of 90s sadness. In 1993 with her boyfriend Lee Wackerhagen.
All right, so is that his middle name?
That's... Lee is his first name. Wackerhagen is his surname. His nickname? Dub.
Hey, what's up? They call me Dub.
I think I assume it's short for W. I have no idea.
Oh, man, my last name starts with a W. New nickname, please. Sup, Dub.
He may be a real big dubstep artist, I'm not sure, but I doubt it.
As am I.
So she spent Christmas with Dub and his son, Chance.
Okay.
I don't liked it, but Dub and Chance.
You also want to name your child Gary. No offence to any Garys.
So much. Any Garys in the house? Oh, you fucking losers. All right, great. On the 27th of December, a few days past, obviously, after Christmas, Latricia's dad was getting worried as he hadn't been able to get in contact with his daughter for a few days. So he visited her house where he found her dead in her bed.
I've done all I can.
She had been shot six times. You want to update that lovely comment? No? Still happy with lovely? All right. Dub was known for having a violent temper and was seen in a heated argument with Latricia shortly before Christmas. So he was the main suspect.
Wow.
He played all three roles.
Wow. Dub was two people.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that? Dub's multiple people. And a warrant for his arrest was put out. But he and his son, or as I've written here, he and his song Chance were nowhere to be found. I mean, in a lot of ways, I could have just kept going. But I didn't want to let you guys know that I'm not an idiot. 3 days later, Dub's truck.
It's the poor man's Thunderstruck. Yeah, I'll have a drink on that one.
Dave, that was funny.
Thank you.
Pity you've brought it down by talking about murder this whole time. And the fruitcake.
Thank you. You're right. Over there in the red light.
Yeah, when you're talking about murder so much that the devil complains, it's probably a little too much.
Sorry, go on.
3 days later, Dub's truck was found abandoned in a field 50 kilometres away from the scene of the crime. Items left inside the truck included Dub's wallet and a bunch of unopened Christmas presents, all clovered and covered in blood.
But it's just the wrapping that's covered in blood.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, if you guys are worried about the presents being soiled, it's only on the wrapping.
Open it up! Don't worry about it.
The super soaker will be fine within. Okay.
It's filled with blood. Jeez, you did this.
You guys know how hard reading is. The blood was assumed to be that of Latricia's, but when tested, it did not match. It was someone else's blood.
Oh.
This has led to theories that the killer may have been a third party and that the blood may have been Dubs or Chances who may have disposed of the bodies from there. So someone might have come in, killed those guys as well. So maybe it was someone who took out the whole Christmas party. But
well, that's much better.
So that's one theory, but a few months later, this bit gave me some chills. A few months later...
Oh, great.
This bit made me feel something. A few months later, though, Chance's maternal grandmother received a phone call from a young boy who said, "Help me." The call was cut off, but she believes the boy was Chance. They were never able to trace it. They never figured out who it was. Chance and Dub have never been found, so they were either killed by the murderer or they were the murderers themselves still hiding out.
Okay, well, let's not blame Chance. Let's not say they were the murderers. I mean, he's a kid. Okay, no, we're blaming Chance. Cool, all right.
Not necessarily.
I tried, Chance.
I'm not saying it was definitely Chance, but...
But there is a chance. It's a small chance.
I mean, that's what we were getting at, but...
I would like if you were to make that funnier, Dave, just for future. You haven't done. You would have said, "But that is a possibility."
Yeah.
That would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get it? Do you get why that's funnier?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. He missed his chance.
Yeah. I missed my possibility. Come on.
You just got applause for that. I'd say stand up and take a bow.
Please, come on.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
You ruined it when you knocked over the drink.
All right, we're up to the final one. It's old enough for us to not feel bad about people dying.
I don't like that. I don't like that purpose.
And it was actually also suggested as a topic in itself by a listener named something Gaelic. I would say Yebini. All right, I'll spell it. A-O-I-B-H-I-N-N. Anyone? What the fuck? All right.
That's interesting. Interesting pronunciation.
It's quite a take.
And they're from Perth. Anyway, so this is their suggestion. How you been? How you been?
How you been? That was funny.
Now we've each
All
said
right.
one funny thing All today.
Right, Maddie, this is the last one.
This is the last one.
I believe in you. I reckon you can save this.
I really believe this one. This was my favourite one. And I reckon this is going to be... I won't tell you the name of this one, but I think the name of this episode is going to be This Topic and Other Christmas Mysteries.
Okay.
This is a bloody... It's
the
a bloody...
murder of 19 people and other Christmas mysteries.
The brutal murder of innocent children.
Feet other mysteries.
Feet. At some point during this, you'd be like, "Oh, feet. That's a little call forward there."
Oh no! Wow. There's a chance this could be bloody possibility. Fuck.
Turn around. Time out. Here we go.
I've got a good back.
That's weird. He has a butterfly trap.
She really laughed at his back. She will laugh at
any back.
Any back.
Why do you think she's sitting in the front row? If you were in the second row, you'd be laughing at the person in front of your back the whole fucking time. You couldn't concentrate at all. Look at this fucking back. Look at this back.
Better. He is very good. I tease him a lot, but he's the funniest person I know, after Jess.
Second comes right after first, so thank you so much.
Come Lord. Sass twins! All right, come on, bring it on.
I nearly choked, thank you.
Okay, let me take you back to Christmas time, 1885.
You're right, that is long enough ago. Tell us about something fucked!
Also, the people in it are old already. Back then.
People didn't live that long back then.
Exactly, thank you. So at Christmas time, 1885, an elderly couple who lived near the farming town of Seneca, Illinois.
Don't make it about an elderly couple. They're so cute.
You're going to very quickly fall in love with these guys. As soon as I give you their names.
Why would you do this?
Their names are Patrick and Matilda Rooney.
No, Pat Tilly. Patty and Tilly. There it is.
And they love a drink. They love a drink, these guys.
Where are they, sorry?
Illinois.
They're in Seneca, Illinois.
Right.
Almost definitely not pronounced Seneca. Oh.
Senecia.
You're from North America, sir. Any idea about a small town in Illinois? You're from Canada.
That's close.
Yeah. Am I saying Seneca right? Nailed it. Thank you.
There we go.
He's actually from South Africa. And he said...
I know, I also met him.
Wait, can you...
He's a South African cum Canadian. Am I saying that right?
Can I?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Matt is in the crowd. For those at home, Matt is in the crowd.
Can I get you to say diplomatic immunity, please? But say it how we want you to say it. Like a South African should, not how you actually would.
Diplomatic immunity.
I'll give you one more chance. You've got to say it like an American pretending to be a South African.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, all right, that was pretty... Yeah, that was good. That was good. Sorry about that. Did I drop your... On Christmas Eve... they shared Christmas drinks with their farmhand, John Larson. The whiskey flowed until Larson...
With the help. How quaint.
So John Larson, the help, he went upstairs to sleep at about 8 p.m. During the night, Larson awoke having a coughing fit, but he was able to get back to sleep, and he did.
This is
so you
good
guys
stuff.
You, for a second, you guys like, is this the mystery? But I closed that one down pretty quickly. Didn't want to leave you guys hanging.
What caused the cough?
Dust.
So far, a couple little clues as to what's coming. Feet and coughing fit.
You cough so hard your feet fall off. Like, what's going on?
I should also say I didn't find that many super quality references for this one. So it feels a bit mythical, but it's definitely a story. It
sounds a bit like he's about to turn into the Mothman or something. Is that what's coming?
The next morning, when he awoke, he noticed things were a bit weird. Firstly, there was soot on his pillow.
Soot on his pillow.
Bit of Christmas morning soot. Could it be Santa? No. No. What he found was much weirder than Santa. It was admittedly quite weird. How young are you guys again?
16.
Yeah, fine.
What do you think about Santa? Cool guy, real.
He's real.
Yeah, he's a real dude. That's
Which
what I like
is.
About him as well.
Yep.
He's real, man. I can talk to the youth.
Matt, do this. They love that.
You know how I know they love that? Because when I said, where are the dads at? One of the dads did that before. So I know that is where it's at.
But also, when you said that, someone in the second row crumped. No, what do you call that? Fudge.
That's a dab.
Dab. Dab.
Oh, wait, is it a crumb? Like...
No, that's twerking.
What the fuck's a crumb? What is a crumb? Just, you know?
I'm not doing it.
A crumb is more similar to a dab than a bloody twerk is to a dab, you moron. So sorry about Grandpa over here.
Where my dad's at? So, I'm so sorry. Not aimed at you. That was not for you.
Who was it for, Dave?
That was for you, Jess. That was a sweet, sweet crumb. What's a crumb?
Matt, on Christmas Eve.
So he stood on his pillow,
soot.
Coughing fit the night before.
He's coughed up soot.
But what he found was much weirder than Santa. So we're up to date now, right? That's a recap for people who have had to pause the podcast because it's taken so long. And now they're on their return journey from work on the train. Welcome back. So he went down. This is the farmhand, Jess. He went downstairs to find Patrick Rooney dead in his bedroom. Patrick, the farmer. But Matilda was nowhere to be found, his wife. Then Larson went into the kitchen where he found a blackened hole in the floor. The hole burnt straight through the floor so the ground could be seen.
Ooh.
Keep those fucking lips away from me. Well, I don't know what you're thinking.
You just saved my life. Also, mole people.
Yeah. It could be mole people. It could be mole people.
Matt, I nearly died.
I know. And Dave saved your life. It was beautiful. Everyone enjoyed it. Yeah.
Especially those at home.
Who will still not understand what happened, but basically someone came at her with a gun.
And just started crumping for self-defense.
Dodged a bullet.
And then brought her soft lips near Dave.
Yeah. To make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Because I know he worries.
Her soft lips.
Stop talking about bullet. Soft lips! I know I started
okay,
it.
Okay, so there's a couple of weird things so far now.
So there's soot on the pillow, he's dead, he's coughing, there's a hole in the floor.
The internal walls of the house are coated with a greasy and sooty substance.
Ooh. Greasy and sooty?
Yeah, it's a weird
both
mix.
Both feel like opposites.
Yeah, what a weird mix.
How is it both? Find out next.
Inside the hole was a pile of ashes.
Inside the hole.
How else would I have said that?
Good point, but it's still gross.
In these ashes, there were fragments of bones. These were the remains of Matilda Rooney.
Spontaneous combustion.
Is it?
And mole people. Combined.
According to one source, admittedly the source is a listicle, the estimated temperature...
See, Matt, a good joke there would have been, well, admittedly the source is ketchup. You know, like mentioning a sauce.
Yeah, that would have been good.
They're laughing. It's pity, but they're laughing. Read your little listicle.
So the listicle states, the estimated temperature of the fire that consumed her was 1400 degrees Celsius or 2500 degrees Fahrenheit. And there were no other signs of fire damage in the rest of the house. Near the ashes were Matilda's feet.
Oh no! Just chose the wrong time to have a drink. Oh...
Some sources say ketchup.
Oh, fuck you!
Whilst others say the feet were still in their shoes.
What shoes?
Oh. I thought that was a real question.
It is.
Yeah, air pumps. Matilda's husband, Patrick, was found to have died suffocating from the fumes of the fire.
Oh.
So he died in his bed, suffocating. All of a sudden you're thinking, oh, coughing upstairs.
Mm.
Maybe that makes some sense. There was some suspicion that Larson was the murderer, but it was found to be very unlikely that he would have been able to make a fire burn so hot inside the house without creating further damage to the property. It is likely his coughing fit in the middle of the night would have been due to the fire, okay? The thing I just said.
He's so good.
Okay, so I'm putting two and two together here. But could the fire have caused the man to cough? Is that possible?
That is one theory.
Okay.
Another one is mustard. No, that fuck that. No, fuck it. Oh, fuck it. Look, that's close, right?
A good try.
Thank you very much, sir. Brisbane is so supportive.
It's so nice. They've stuck with you this entire time. With this fucked report.
I'm really into this. So what has happened? What has happened?
So the next thing I've written is, so what happened?
That's what I'm wondering.
Can confirm.
Yeah. According to Britannica.com, the tragedy left investigators baffled. It's a mystery.
Did anyone see that coming?
No source of ignition could be found for the blaze, and although the flames had been intense enough to reduce Matilda Rooney to ashes and a few bone fragments, the fire had not spread. The fire seemed to have started in her body and stayed confined to her body.
Ugh.
What's that known as?
Lightning.
You want to read?
Someone just said lightning.
Jess, read the next sentence.
It appeared that the Roonies had fallen victim to the rare and enigmatic phenomenon of spontaneous human combustion.
Spontaneous human combustion was thought to be a thing back in the day. Usually the victims were alcoholics.
Tilly loved a drink.
The theory went that they were so soaked with alcohol that they could somehow ignite without any external source of ignition. But Britannica states that none of the proposed scientific explanations for how a body would spontaneously burst into flames have held up to scrutiny. The Victorian explanation that alcohol rendered the body flammable doesn't work, seeing that the concentrations of alcohol, even in the most intoxicated people, are much too low and that an external source of ignition would be required. Please, no one light a match to me right now.
Did you fart?
No, I've had a couple of beers.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember this moment last night, Matt, but so we're sleeping in the lounge room. Matt's on an airbed and I'm on a couch. Do you remember the moment last night where I woke myself up because I farted? Do you remember that? We watched, the TV was on a timer, so, you know, it was still playing and I just remember, oh. And I thought to myself, I wonder if Matt heard that. And now I'm asking, did you hear that?
No, I did not. I slept very well. Thank you.
I wish I hadn't said anything.
All right.
Why was that not the first thing you told me this morning?
Because until I had a couple of beers, I was a bit ashamed.
That's the best.
Oh, what was that? Oh, that was me. Matt?
It's like when a dog does it.
And they're like, oh, what?
You guys know that kind of shame where you won't tell one of your close friends about it privately, but then when you're sitting next to her in front of 120 people, you know that kind of shame? That's what Dave has.
The kind of shame where you're like, well, this may get a laugh, and I'm desperate for that because I'm very alone. That's what's happened.
Stop doing Jess's gear, Dave.
Yeah, I'm the lonely one.
Oh, and okay. I have a lot of friends.
That is the saddest thing of all.
Too much.
Yelling into a microphone to 120 people.
I
have a lot of friends. Queenslander. It's the saddest thing
ever. All right, so we're down to the final paragraph. This is basically Britannica spoiling the fun of the spontaneous combustion. Yeah. Britannica goes on to say, but it also makes it kind of more fucked as well. Britannica goes on to say that in the 20th century, forensic scientists noted the wick effect. Have you heard of the wick effect?
I have not.
Well, they had a bit of string out their butt. You light it.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
This guy's heard of everything.
But so, I give zero shits.
So this is 20th century science noticed the wick effect, in which clothing worn by a victim can soak up melted fat, acting like the wick in a candle.
We were having so much fun.
And creating conditions for a body to smoulder for an extended period of time.
Thank you.
So what's the source? How do they get on fire in the first place?
Experiments have shown that this effect can produce many of the unusual characteristics associated with spontaneous human combustion, such as the complete or nearly complete incineration of the body and the lack of fire damage to the victim's surroundings. The likely explanation for suspected cases of spontaneous human combustion, then, is that there is an external source of ignition, a match, a cigarette, an electric spark, that sets off the wick effect. But the evidence of that is destroyed in the fire. So the ignition is destroyed, right?
So you don't know that there was a string out their butt.
Exactly, because that burns, obviously. And while alcohol doesn't make the body more flammable, being super drunk means that you probably are less likely to stop yourself burning.
Just like me with my fart last night, you're like, what's that? Oh, it's a fire, don't worry about it.
So that's why...
Stop talking about your fart.
Hey, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but last night I farted.
So the idea is that all these spontaneous human combustions that happened in the 1800s were always drunk people, nearly alcoholics, right? It's probably just because they're so drunk that they're slowly burning to death without stopping, dropping and rolling. That is...
Genuine question. Why have people stopped combusting?
Very good question. I'll field this one.
I mean, he asked you.
Yeah, I'd say it's because the Queensland system where they now make you take photo ID as you enter every nanny state. That's
yeah.
why.
Thanks a lot, Palaszczuk. Yeah.
Sure. Is there any chance that you could say something great that wraps things up? Jess, open to you as well.
No, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a big round of applause for Chris Rich and Matt Stewart's 5 Disgusting Mysteries.
Yay! Wow.
We made it.
Thanks so much for coming out, everyone. It's been a fucking thrill to have you all here. We will be sitting out there drinking, and we've got some T-shirts if anyone wants them. Also, wristies. $3.
$3.
$3 only.
$3.
Very confused face up the back. They're wristbands.
We should say thank you so much to Kate Rudge for helping us organise.
Thank you so much, Kate. You're the best. And this venue, Heya Bar, that we are in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, is an absolutely fantastic bar. And they also have a comedy night every single Wednesday night, which, Matt, you were the MC this week.
I was. I've MC'd a few times. It's the most fun. I reckon it's one of the best comedy rooms in Australia. And I think you guys, have many of you been here before? I know you have.
Awesome.
Definitely, if you haven't checked it out, you really should, because it's fucking sick. And they get anyone big in town will drop by through here every week.
All like the big names. The Matt Stewarts, yeah. If you will. Anyway, let's get out of here because it's hot and
all
I
right,
need
guys,
to pee.
We will see you out there generally for a drink, but thanks so much for coming out. Give yourselves a big round of applause.
Love you guys.
We will say thank you and Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, hey there. It's me, Matt, from the show Do Go On that you're listening to now. So that was the episode. Merry Christmas to all. And to all, here are some more things. Yeah, it was really cool. So much fun we had there. Dave, Jess and I went out after for drinks with a bunch of people there like Cam, Kate, Mike, Jess, Amy and a heap more. And it was so much fun. Just had the best time in Brisbane. And, yeah, we're definitely already talking about going back sometime next year. So that's cool. Sure. Yes, and that, I guess, brings me to what we normally do at the end of the episode is thank some of our Patreon supporters. So let me do that now. I'd love to thank Jacqueline Nielsen from Surfers Paradise. And I thought what I'd do is I'd just Google where people are from, and then I can say something about that place. So I know Surfers Paradise quite well. I've been there before. And what comes up is Schoolies, which is the Australian end of high school party that goes for like a month or something. So, yeah, that's sort of unsurprising. That just comes up. It's Schoolies, and then there's the Toolies, who are the old people who go party there. I'm assuming that must be a frustrating situation for Jacqueline Nielsen and your townsfolk. It's weird that someone actually lives there. It seems like such a holiday place. I forget that people actually live there as well. Thanks so much, Jacqueline. Are you a Toolie? I bet you're not. I bet you're not. I bet you go away for that period of time. I'd also love to thank Craig Hayes. He's from Masham, North Yorkshire in Britain. Let's look up Masham. Ah, it's a big beer town. It's interesting. Let's see what they've got there. Theakston and a few other craft breweries. Ah, Theakston's cool. That's my, they actually make my old man's favourite beer. It's got Old Peculiar, which I drank one time, and it was very nice. That's from Masham. Who would have bloody thought it? Craig Hayes, do you like Old Peculiar? I imagine it is an old man drink. And I have no idea if you're an old man or not, Craig, but I'm guessing you're probably not. Or are you? Whatever. I'd also love to thank Dan Ford. It's a great name, Dan Ford. As always, all our listeners have great names. Dan Ford, Craig Hayes. Craig Hayes, that's fun to say, actually, and Jacqueline Nielsen. Dan Ford is from Broomfield, Chelmsford, Essex. All right. See, there's a page called Things to Do in Broomfield, Essex. It's a Facebook page. What does it say? There are no recommended events. Oh, fucking hell. That sounds dire. What else we got here? The top result is Broomfield Hospital. I wonder if you were, are you a doctor, sir? Cool. What? Surely there's. All right, let's move to Chelmsford, Essex. Let's see what's here. What's going for it? The architecture of the new Salvation Army Citadel. Okay, that's a reason to move somewhere. What about, what else? Oh, the case against. This is from a Guardian article. The case against moving there. And I'd be interested to hear if you agree with this, Dan. It says, what do you think? Ring roads, access roads, bypasses, roundabouts. These are reasons to not move there. All still chronic traffic problems. An inbuilt denial that it's actually a town with history, complexity, etc. Oh, this is brutal. Not just a filler between your front drive and the supermarket. Mundanity. Is that how you say that? A cultural black hole. Fuck. County cricket makes up for some of this, though. All right, this is a... Tom... Oh, the guy who wrote this article's name is Tom Dickhoff. And he sounds like, you know, he's being a bit of a dickhoff to Chelmsford. I'm sure it's a lovely place to live. Otherwise, why would Dan Ford live there? One of the great people who support the show on Patreon. So thank you so much to Dan, Craig, and Jacqueline. And yeah, thanks so much for listening, everyone. Is there anything else I need to say? Thanks again to Kate Rudge from Hey Ya Comedy who helped us set up the show. And Merry Christmas to everyone. Obviously, there's a few more episodes to go. We don't take a break. We keep releasing episodes right through the season, holiday season, Christmas time. So we'll have another episode coming out next week, which we're really looking forward to. It will be a Jess Perkins episode, which we've actually already recorded, and it is very good. So we'll catch you then, and thanks, everyone. Laters.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
A little bit of housekeeping as well. You can exit if you need to through the middle or through the sides. I mean, if you're over there, don't go that way. That makes no sense.
These are the fun bits that'll be cut out. Can you believe it? You're going to listen back and go, oh, I missed that bit where Jess said the exit over there.
Yeah. Just so you know.
That's just for you guys.
I'm all about safety.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.